Want to continue on with fail-proof living, patience. So that's going to be the opening scripture as well as the teaching. And it's going to be God's patience. For the time being, Rick's been saying our patience, the gift that he's given us, but it's God's patience. So I do have a little, my little skit. I came with my chains last time. I don't have the chain this time. But the reference scripture is 2 Peter 3:9. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance." One of the underlying testimonies from Larry and Gary is hearing what the Holy Spirit has been saying. So I was going out. I had my plans the other day to cut my trees, all the dead trees, and the Lord said, "Bring this." This really doesn't cut down my trees. And I said, "Okay." It was a prompting, and I wanted to be obedient to the prompting. So I brought this, and I had it in my back pocket, and where I was going to go with the tree, stands of trees were, it wasn't where he had directed me. He said, "Go over there, and there's a bunch of shrubs." And sure enough, this was perfect to cut the shrubs down versus my big chainsaws and my big toys. They're toys. They're not tools. They're toys. But as I turned around, because I'm saying, "Lord, this doesn't mean, I don't know, I don't understand what this is." We do have some blueberry bushes, and Carol was concerned that the birds were going to steal our blueberries. So she threw this netting on top of the blueberries. It took us a while to get on there. So as I turned around, there was a little bird stuck in the netting. It's a snare. So its leg was caught up. One wing was caught up. It had its head poking through one of these things, and it had a free wing. And when it saw me, it started flopping around and getting more and more tangled up. So last time I was here, I talked about that Schedule 40 steel chain, right? Couldn't break it. A snare is just as deadly. It could be unbelief. It could be unforgiveness, a hurt, a disappointment, revenge. You're going to get, the only thing that happens, it gets you tangled up more and more. And then I said, "Oh, I couldn't get that bird with my chainsaws or my pole saw." So then I realized, "Oh, like that bird." I started snipping with this little tool, which I thought was insignificant, one piece at a time. And the bird was flapping, and it's trying to bite me. And I do have a little fear of bird, because as a little kid, my parents said, "Birds are dirty animals, and you can catch diseases if they scratch you or bite you." So that memory came up in my mind, right? I don't want to touch them. It's like when we do ministry. Some people say, "How do you deal with an unclean person?" Well, they don't know. But they're struggling. They're in this snare. They can't get out on their own strength. We have the tools. God provides each of us the tools for ministry. And he puts us in places where he makes a way out for us, but it's not for our comfort. It's for that person caught in a snare. So I just prayed to the Lord, said, "Jesus, please let this bird know I'm here to help it. I'm not here to hurt it." And the next thing you know, with the one free claw foot, the bird grasped a hold of my finger. It was like a perch. And I can snip each of those little twines off of that bird. And it was, to me, that was just a miracle, because the thing was flopping around and it was just laying there in my, right there on my finger. And I'm snipping. And I said, "Please don't move. I don't want to hurt you." And this netting was wrapped around its neck. So it was, the more it moved, it was choking itself. And I know it's a panic. So that's the pressure from the devil. When we're being attacked, we're struggling on our own strength, right? You can't stop until you wear out. And that's the other part of oppression. You fight until you can't fight anymore, and you just wait. You just wait for the end. So I finally got a hold of the, I thought I was free, and it wasn't. There was one more netting around its neck. And now I'm trying to get that clipper underneath its neck without cutting it. And I snipped it, and it flew directly east towards the sun. I said, "Ooh." So that's the sermon. There's all my prophetic words that the Lord has wanted to share with me, but it's hearing the Word of God, hearing the prompting, following it through, dealing with our anxiety or shortcomings of how we're going to do this. It's not us, it's the Lord. And the opening scripture was that the Lord's not slack in concerning his promise. He's not willing that any should perish, but come to repentance. And that's what I saw this was. This bird was trapped in a snare. So these are the scriptures. Because this is a multi-level teaching. It's not just about the word. It's about our role in it. So 2 Timothy 2:26. Okay, so this is the King James. I have the NIV. So we'll read the NIV. It says that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. And what's the will of the devil? To steal, kill, and destroy. So that bird was trapped in a snare. Psalm 91:3 is a promise. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and the noisy pestilence. If you're stuck in a snare and you identify it and there's no way out, God creates a way out. In this case, he brought me into the assistance of an animal. How much more then bring my life into a life of someone that's caught in a snare? 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having a seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So, same thing with that bird. Say there's a person stuck in a snare. The Lord knows who are his, right? And he can deliver them. And this one, I'm going to rely on you to help me find the scriptures. I wrote down the scriptures and never put down what book it came from or verse. It says, and ye hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we've had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And he has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and not that yourselves, is a gift of God. So I can imagine that bird, let's say it's a person, trapped in a snare. It knows it can't get out. It can't. Its only hope was to die. And God intervened, snapped the bondage off that life, because God knows him and loved him. And that's his mercy towards us. To all of us. It's up to us to receive. So that bird, I would say, received when the bondage was cut, it flew directly towards the sun. He flew, in my mind, directly to Jesus. 2 Peter 1:3, according to his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. I will stop right there on that one. John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. Now the word says that God confirms his word with signs and wonders. So to me this is a sign. What happens after Huggy Break and after the music is the teaching. What happened before resulted in me seeing this bird. Of course, we're at a Bible study, and my friend was going to see his friend who's dying, who's a pastor. The man has lived a righteous life his whole life, and he's dying. He only has a week or 2 weeks to go. And it's the testimony from the pastor is, the devil's after me. I don't know why he did this for. Don't know why I pastored. I don't know why I was a Christian. Look at my life now. I'm on a hospital bed. Life support. My life. My life is ending. I'm... All right, that's the snare. He's looking at himself. He's not realizing. He's forgetting the eternal life, the promise of forgiveness of sins. The whole future is before him. But it's the devil that's trying to steal that from him at his last moments here on earth. The man doesn't see the value that he's done, how he expressed the kingdom, how he expressed God's love, and all of a sudden it comes back to me, me, me. I'm dying. What are you doing for me? I'm dying. It's not the way I saw my life. So we encourage this man. So I've been reading the Passion Translation of the Bible. So we're going to Matthew 13:9. This is the King James. So regarding, I'm calling it a parable of the birds caught in a snare. He who has an ear, an ear to hear, let him hear. The Passion Translation is, if you are able to understand this, then you need to respond. That's a direct quote from Jesus in the Aramaic language. So my question to anyone here today, are you in a snare and you're stuck and you don't see a way out? There is a way out. Jesus' word says, whoever the Father gives me are his, and he won't cast them out. He makes a way out. So if that's anyone here this morning that is stuck and would like to get out, you need to respond. That's kind of powerful from Jesus. I know in the flesh, if Jesus came up to me and he identified all my problems and he says, you need to respond. And I've been sharing the Bible for about 20 years now. I never did that. They call it a call to action. I share the gospel. I never went up to someone and said, you need to respond. Because they heard. What are you going to do? You're going to walk away still stuck in bondage, still in hurt, still in pride. Oh, I'm good. And you know you're struggling. You know your foot is stuck over your head, and you know you're flopping around, and someone comes with the right tool. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. You're forgiven of your sins. That's the truth. It goes back to Priscilla. Trust in the Lord, and that's tying in. Well, you see, but you didn't see it. You don't see this when it's on the tree. So that's why it's a snare. And I did some sort of doing research on snares, and they're illegal now because it's inhumane of how it catches animals. They strangle it to death, or it decapitates them in a different type of things. But this is not a real snare, but for illustration purposes, it's light, it's flimsy. How do I get stuck in it? How do I get stuck in sin? No, the Bible tells you, like, no man, you're not tempted by God, but man is drawn away from by his own lust, which conceived brings sin and brings death. So it could be a wayward thought, right? Then an action, then you're stuck. Then you try to get out, and the more you try to get out, you're stuck. And there's the hopelessness. But the gospel is hope. It's the good news. It's the kingdom of God. So that is it for the opening. Any questions? What a wonderful place of worship. Take the coal, cleanse my lips. Here I am. I think that's what the Lord asks of us or directs us to do. And when we respond, we can see the miracles happen, see his love flow out of us and his strength flow through us to change not only our lives, but those who don't know him yet. And that's going to lead into the teaching. So fail-proof living, patience, and this is God's patience. And one of the scriptures is God was with them, and he confirmed his word with signs following. So the opening was, in my mind, the signs that had followed, which was happened, I'm going to describe now as part of the sermon and with the testimonies. At the Bible study, my friend was going to see his dying pastor. And I said, you know, the Lord has given me foretellings. When it's my time, the enemy is going to assault me so much that he's going to try to make me renounce Christ at the very end. It's not a fear I have. It's like it's a repetitive mode. It's going to come to crunch time, and what am I going to do? But one of the opening scripture was like, God knows who's or his, and he was no way cast out. So when I was doing the study, that's reassurance for me. No matter what I've done, God, Jesus, will not cast me away. So what the enemy is, he's a liar, he's a thief, and he's a killer. So doing the study, preparing for this, it settled me. So the devil could come at me. I don't have to worry about what I'm going to do. It's what Jesus already did. He's not going to cast me to the side. He's not going to forget me. And that's one of the songs. No, he's not going to do that. So when this man had testified about the pastor, I had testified. See, our testimonies are wonderful because the devil is defeated by the blood of the Lamb and the words of the our testimony, and we love our life not to the death. So my best friend, I get a phone call from his wife, frantic. You need to go to the hospital, give last rites to my husband. What? But then he calmed down. It was not my husband, it's my son dying. They don't give him much longer. I said, I'll be there. And I get to the hospital, and the father, Cliff, had called me up and said, Tommy, you need to get here. He's dying. What can I do? I said, is your son saved? No, but as a young boy, as an infant, they dedicated him to the Lord. Well, his life was so contrary to that. An alcoholic, drug abuser, a messed up life. Everyone loved him. He was a guy full of joy, happiness, a thief, a scoundrel. That's all he was. And so Cliff led his son to the Lord. When his son came in, he was in prison, and he didn't feel well. And he went to the infirmary, and he said, don't worry about it. Well, he went again, and they said, don't worry about it. On the third time, they gave him a release from prison. So the parents said, it's a miracle. It's God's favor. See, I had discernment. No, it wasn't God's favor. The man, which was confirmed by the doctor, stage 4 cancer. If he stayed in the prison system, the state would have had to pay all his medical bills. The state didn't want to pay his medical bills, so they released him. So we have to have discernment of what's going on in our lives, if it's God's will or not. So they released him from prison, and the first thing he did is throw a big party. At the party, he collapsed. He woke up in the emergency room. Now, at an emergency room, he's in a hospital bed. Jeannie, this has a good ending. This has a very good ending. And the guy's a character. So he said, oh, doctor came in. Oh, doctor, I guess I have to give up the smoking. And the doctor was very grim. He goes, so the boy says, so when am I going home? You're not. Stage 4 cancer. Riddled through your body. You're not leaving the room. He's in his, maybe, not even in his 40s. And he's hearing a doctor saying, you're done. So he started reacting. You're fearful. He doesn't have Christ. He had so much strength that he ripped the leather restraints off the hospital bed. They kept on pumping him up with drugs, but he's a hardened addict. The drugs don't do anything. So that's when Cliff started talking about Jesus. Talked about the love of Christ. And the kid's struggling. Because in my mind's eye, the devil was behind the doctor coming to collect his soul. No way out. He's strapped down to a bed, and the devil's coming to collect what's due him, his soul. I think the boy knew that. So Cliff is sharing Jesus, and the boy is sort of interested, not interested, until he says, all your sins have been forgiven. And his son says, all of them? And Cliff said, yes, all of them. The boy, his son receives Christ from the mouth of his father. His dying son receives Christ. Total peace. Total, absolute peace. Coming from ripping out leather restraints to peace. He's not in that snare anymore. That bird was struggling to get out of the snare. This man is released from that snare. He's accepted Jesus. That's God's patience. He's on his deathbed. Jesus is there. And people said, how do you know? I can't even express in words how your heart would react to the truth of Jesus Christ. You can look at your life, say how bad you messed up, but you still have a hope that there's something, there has to be something. and spirit speaks to spirit. And that's why I believe the boy received, Cliff's son received Christ. Total peace, totally, it blows the mind of all the doctors. How could it be at so peace? Because they saw what he did on his strength. It's the peace of God, right? That surpasses all understanding. The second story, of course, this is a Bible study. The man starts crying. His sister, a drug addict, the alternative lifestyle, a drunkard her whole life, hates her. Steve receives Christ. He hears a prompting from the Holy Spirit. Go visit your sister in the hospital. She's dying. I ain't seen her. She gets what she deserves. I don't appreciate what she does. I don't like the lifestyle, the whole thing. But he's a drinker. He's military. I'm not saying he's because he's a drinker. Of course, he's military. He's seen the horror of war. He has a hardened heart. He receives Christ. He's hearing, you need to see your sister. He goes, sees the sister, shares Jesus with his sister. A newborn Christian going to a family member who he detests everything that she's done, and out of love shares Jesus. Because he knows where she's going if she doesn't have Jesus. And she receives Christ. And he's bawling. He can't believe it. And he said, well, yeah, you know what happened yesterday? And this is from the staff. No, what happened yesterday? The custodian, the little lady came in and asked to pray with your sister. And he goes, what? My sister would have thrown her out of the room. And he goes, but she accepted prayer. So here a day later, the gospel comes in. How God orchestrates. How Jesus loves. How Jesus is patient. And the same type of thing. She receives Jesus and she's at total peace. The doctor said, the family wanted her liver transplant, and when Steve shared the testimony, it spoke volumes. You killed your body. That's what he told the daughter, the sister. You killed your body. You're dead. You're dead already. We're dead in sin. We don't know it. So she didn't get the transplant. The doctors refused. Oh, excuse me. So, the family wants to sue the doctor, sue the hospital. My daughter deserves this. He told the truth. You're dead. They're not going to do that. Steve's in total peace. His sister's in heaven. She's eternal life. She's been forgiven of all of her sins. And now Steve's realizing he's been forgiven. So who is he to judge someone else's sin? So it's turmoil. Now the two other men at the Bible study start crying. Whoa. So the Holy Spirit is really dealing with a delicate situation. Life and death. The power of life and death is in the tongue. So we have family members leading their children, siblings, into the kingdom. So Chuck, same thing, recently got saved. His mother had died while he was unsaved. Now he's saved. Now he's realizing the ramifications of dying unsaved. He goes, Mom, my mom could be in hell. It's been bothering me. Next to him is his brother. His brother is bawling. He goes, bro, what? Mom received Christ before she died. What? Saved, unsaved, never shared the communication that their mother received Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior before she died. Crying now is crying of joy because he never knew. Never knew. Their father had died. So this is the other brother. He goes, well, what about dad? He goes, oh, he's saved. Well, how can you be sure? I led him to Christ. What? So now they're both hugging. We had five guys crying. The mercy and compassion of God. He knows who are his. God gave us to Christ. In no way will Christ cast us out. If you don't haven't received Christ, you don't have that assurance. But it was a beautiful witness of a testimony impacting the other men. And their desire, it's pretty hard to see someone destroy their life. Really, because the flesh gets in the way. that so quick to say, you got what you deserved. The doctor said it, you killed your body. You're dead. But God, who's rich in mercy, knows us, and he's called us. So those are the testimonies. And now I just want to go over the scriptures. And of course, there's different levels. So this is for someone who's in the ministry. So here you have a family member dying. And doesn't... Oh, so I said these are life, we call these deathbed salvations. And I said, no, they're lifebed salvations. They didn't die. They have eternal life. So how do we prepare? So 1 Peter 3:15, Aaron, it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Deathbed, be ready. Right? In meekness. When someone asks you, why should I'm dying, why should I believe in Jesus? Hopefully we have the answers of why we believe in Jesus. What is our hope in Christ? 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. Okay, good. And a servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those who oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance for the acknowledging of the truth. Wow. We have the truth. We have the answers. We have the keys to the kingdom. And how do we share that? And for these four men, one, five, were all placed in a position which they did that, out of meekness and out of love to share the hope that they have. They were ready. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath appointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek, and has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty unto the captives, and the opening of the prison of them that were bound. Each of those four people were bound, destined to hell, much like that bird in that snare, and someone was there to give them the word, to free them. Second Timothy 2:19. Now this goes back to our salvation and who we are in Christ. And this was already mentioned earlier in the opening. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having a seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that names the Lord of Christ depart from iniquity. The Lord knows who we are. He's reached out. He's called us. Many are called, few are chosen. See, that's our own individual choice. But once you see Christ, we are his. I am his. I can mess it up in my own terms, make a shipwreck in my life, but Jesus won't forsake me. John 10:3. To him the porter openeth, the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth out his own sheep by name and leads them out. Once we know who Jesus is, we hear his voice. So on these four people, five people on their deathbed, I can speak for the one, ignored Jesus the whole time. He heard. He just lived his life. But he heard. And he chose to be obstinate, chose to live his life until his Father offered him the salvation message. Jesus was patiently waiting, patiently drawing. The world had them. They were ensnared. They were destined to doom, but God was patient. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. To me, that was that spirit in spirit moment when each of those people received Christ. They heard his voice. They know him, and they chose to follow God. They didn't follow to choose Satan on their deathbed. They made a radical transformation. They followed. John 5:14. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. This is so dramatic. These people were not getting out of the hospital alive. They were destined to die. But they heard, they believed. They don't come to condemnation, but have passed from death. They died physically, but now they have everlasting life. That's the truth, and that's... Where's Priscilla? Where's her... There you are. You moved one seat up. Yep. That's trusting that. That's what it comes out. Faith and trust. Romans 6:18. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. If you heard God's voice, and you know his voice, he's called you, right? I just know with Cliff's son, that spirit to spirit, that boy knew at that instant that he was God's. No matter what he did with his life, he was God's. And God was there to let him know how much Jesus loved him, that his desire that no man perish but come to the saving knowledge of his son. For the person that's dying, okay, Isaiah 60, verses 1 and 2. It says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. So for two of those people that received Christ on their deathbed went from being violent, angry, to that total peace. The glory of God descended upon them. So Psalm 107. 8-15. It says, oh, that the men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in the trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bounds asunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. That's a summary of what happened on those, for those four people. They might have heard the Lord. They did their own thing. They were burdened, but in their distress, cried out to the Lord, and the Lord saved them. So, how much more for a person walking, not knowing Christ now, who's dead to sin, how much more do those words mean? Because when people are desperate, they will believe anything to get out of their situation. But the only way out is through Jesus and the hope that he promises. Their life, it says that the Lord, God's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And you say, well, how does that help that person that just died? Well, think of that scripture versus eternally. How much godliness and life there is for eternity. But for a person now who doesn't know Christ, who's walking in, basically they're dead, walking dead, how much more life do these words? If they hear Christ, right, and I go in barging in and condemn them because they're not living a lifestyle or how they should be, I don't want to be a deterrent. But God already knows them, so he's going to get to them. Same thing on their deathbed. They can say they believe in God, right? But if he hasn't called them, they can call all they want. They're not his. But to those that he's called, he will never forsake us and never cast us out. So how does this all get tied together? God is patient. He's given us that gift of patience. So when we see things going, when I minister, I tell people when they come to the Lord, it's going to get worse. I'm not prophesizing that. And he said, but you've been just translated from the kingdom of the devil. He had you. Now you've been saved. You have a new life. He's going to be angry. So he threw those fiery darts. So you need to be in Bible study. Go to a Bible-believing church. Live out your faith. Have hope. Connect with other Christians. Dig into the Word. Apply it to yourself. Gary, I like what you said. It's about the church concept. But we are the church. So the words we apply and speak apply to ourselves first. Right, Angel? That's where the change happens. It's not taking our faith and saying they should be doing something. What am I doing? So the people that are living contrary to themselves, we're to be the witnesses. We have the hope. We've been saved. We've been forgiven. And to share that to people that, A, won't believe it, can't believe it because the devil has blinded their minds and hearts. But what happens? See, God has called out, has called them. God has called. He's waiting for the person, me, to respond. And it took me 50 years to respond. My life was fine. Carol could tell you differently. My life was a wreck. But when I received Christ and accepted him and started believing it, the same stuff was coming in, but I had a defense now. I had a hope. I had a promise. And it's far greater than everything materially that has happened. It's that assurance eternally, I'm forgiven, I have eternal life. And he's equipped me, not so I'm comfortable, but to save that person that's trapped in a snare. And I don't have to be afraid because he's equipped me. And he's told me how to do it in meekness and in fear. And didn't that Jesus do it? He walked into the worst places because he knew who he was. He knew who he was. He knew the power he had. And it was his love and telling the truth. Just, he spoke about the kingdom. He didn't really much speak of what they were doing, except for the Pharisees and the religious system. But for the people, I'm sharing the kingdom. I'm sharing the kingdom. Well, I'm this. I'm sharing the kingdom. Well, I did this. I'm sharing the kingdom. Your sins are forgiven. Sin no more. That's all he shared. Your sins are forgiven. Should you believe me? And just accept that.
Take me past the outer courts and through the holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people, the priests who sing their praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, and it's only found one place. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me in to the Holy of Holies. Take the cold cleanse my lips. Here I am. I guess we'll do it one more time.